This is the morning after the night before, and just rounding the corner onto the main road here. The iconic Free Derry corner. You are now entering Free Derry. I can't help but think that there's an irony in the statement this morning, because an awful lot of listeners from this part of the world are in touch to say they feel anything but free regarding what they can or cannot say about this bonfire. It's one of hundreds, of course, one of, I don't know, thousands maybe. But the fact that it seems to have gone ahead despite the strong feeling of many people in this community, I think really is what garners the attention this time round. Just coming past the petrol bomber mural, and the air is thick and pallid, and that south wind that's just blowing this horrible smoke right down the very heart of the bog side. So let me try and gauge some opinion here as people try to make sense of the morning after the night before. Madam, do you know what? You've just crossed the wee crossing there, and it's full of glass, and there's bottles, and the cleanup's going okay, isn't it?
It is a disgrace. Uh-huh. It is. I went up the road there at 10 o'clock, and it was a lot worse than it is now. You're cleaning it up, grand, right enough, like, you know, but it's a disgrace.
What would you do? Come on, we'll walk. What would you do?
Well, they put her in a survey to see who wanted the bonfires lit, and I says no, because we don't want them. Well, most of the people around here don't want them.
So I suppose some people see them as traditional.
Well, that's true enough, but years ago, they were all right. You know what I mean? There'd be small bonfires and people sat around them and sang, and that way.
There was a bit of crack.
But
I'm assuming a lot of these people here were here last night and they're drinking and all the rest. I'm sure they had a bit of crack, or they would tell you they had a bit of crack.
Well, I wasn't down, like, so I didn't see a bit of...
Just that scene there, I mean, the whole air is thick with smoke and there's a fire burning in the middle of a road. It's strange, you know, people think that's like something you see in a war zone.
Is it? That's what it is. You know, but you say it's tradition, so they'll keep on, because unless they find a solution to it, but I don't know. Like, they were doing street parties there for a while, you know.
People are saying there's some great ones.
Aye. There was some great street parties there. I think Craigan, now they're doing well up there, and there's not as many bonfires up there, and they help one its way at the back roads.
Yeah. What would you do?
I sit in the house then, I tell you that much. I don't come out near them now at all.
Do you be afraid?
No, I just don't bother about them, because they're too much drinking and fighting, and, you know, so I don't bother now. I just stay in the house.
We're in a crisis. We're in a crisis I don't think that we have ever faced before. I've 18 years' experience in the Assembly, 18 years on the Public Accounts Committee, international experience in different parts of the world dealing with the finance and the things that are wrong.
But John, I want to get to the nub of this question. This is an old friend of yours. We've had to rearrange the seating at the last minute.
Not by me.
Well, we'll come to that in a second. This is an old friend of yours. You've been through thick and thin in the SDLP with Gerry Mullen. You knew that this was potentially a fatal blow for his candidacy.
You know, and I know, that when Gerry stood for election last year, we lost 2,000 votes. There wasn't a chance that we could retain the seat, and it's absolutely critical that the SDLP continues to be represented in East Derry. Yes, it was inconvenient for me to do it. I did it because I'm 39 years representing the party, and I don't want the SDLP to disappear in East Derry.
Gerry Mullen, standing as an independent, fair to the listenership to know why we needed to rearrange the seats there 5 minutes ago.
Okay, Mark. I'm glad to see you're kicking the show off with a bit of a Mark. Stephen Nolan hasn't got anything on you in terms of trying to keep the show live.
We're just answering the
absolutely.
The question,
I appreciate that. We had to rearrange the seating because, as you know, there's been quite a distance between myself and John Dollett since the last election. It's unfortunate that this has happened. It wasn't of my doing. John supported me in the last election, and the party supported me fully in the last election. It's very, very dismaying and very, very surprising to find that within a matter of weeks, that friendship had just broken up. John has not spoken to me we're only into 8 months into the new mandate. And ask him how long it is since he spoke to me last.
You ask him.
Well, I can tell you how long it is.
Well, he's sitting two doors down.
I can tell you how long it is, Mark, because I know very well. The last time a John Dalit broke breath to me, sent me a message, sent me an email, or contacted me in any way, was the evening that his daughter was told that she'd been offered a job in my office.
Jerry, I think we have a professional understanding that there are legal matters pertaining to this that we are very happy to steer away from. It's a live case, and we mustn't go there. We respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you. John, I'm just looking. I mean, 9 months ago, this man was extolling John Hume and the loyalty to the SDLP. You were over the moon. I'm delighted Jerry has been endorsed by the party centrally. I want to see the electorate represented by somebody who is committed to the welfare of the people as a priority, the creation of jobs, security, future generations. Jerry is that person. He has the goodwill of all elected and party faithful in East Derry.
For a long time after Jerry was elected, I wrote all these press statements. I set up all these interviews. I tabled many of the written questions, which he now claims he has been responsible for. I didn't walk away from Jerry. Jerry walked away from me and walked away from the local councillors as well.
For all those years, Jerry, he was putting the words in your mouth.
That is absolutely a joke. Mr. Dalit is really the master of the low blow. And this is just another one.
Jerry, Breed Rogers is from my part of the world, right?
Yes.
I mean, like her or not like her, Breed Rogers knows her politics. She's a grandee of the SDLP. She oversaw this. Do you think she would want to anything but the best candidate for her party?
That's entirely up to Breed Rogers to decide. I was asked along to an interview. I went. I mean, it was not for me to determine who was going to interview me. It turned out to be two very long associates of John Dalit's, like Breed Rogers, as you mentioned, the Minister for Agriculture at the time of the foot and mouth outbreak. I mean, John Dalit, to me, it was a conflict of interest.
Well, talk to John.
I'm talking to you, Mark.
John, would you like to talk to Jerry?
I have no problem talking to anyone. In fact, when I went for the interview, I signed a document to say that I would pay my allegiance to whoever the successful candidate was.
So you'd have been happy if that was Jerry?
Absolutely, and I said it publicly at a meeting in Coleraine. So I don't have a problem at all. But listen, I think we want to move on and talk about what the election's
but
about.
This is important. This could, I mean, there's an SDLP seat East Derry.
It's very
and potentially
important.
This conflict could cost both of you.
It's very important. It's very important. And I've just come from a police station in Limavady where I've been told that more posters of a defamatory nature have been erected in the Coleraine area. That I have fought 13 elections, fought them clean and won them all. This is the 14th. I've never been through anything like this in my life. It is absolute hell for me and my family and my colleagues who loyally have come here to the studio to support me this afternoon.
Jerry, would you condemn that?
Absolutely, Mark. And, you know, I hope that John's not insinuating that I had anything to do with this because I would purport to
be... Well, he's saying material has gone up.
Absolutely.
He didn't make any accusation.
I mean, the party leader has made comments on Twitter, which to me would indicate that he's indicating that I was responsible or someone behind it.
You see, Jerry, we need to be very delicate about these matters.
Yes.
That's an accusation. You know, I don't have those tweets in front of me in a furnace now, and we've put a lot of work into this debate. So let's steer away from, you know, stuff that can be said to be unsolicited or unfair.
But,
you know,
Mark, I have had a long time in politics as well, and I have always acted with integrity.
But Jerry, isn't the bottom line, because other candidates who want to speak about many things, this is a very important issue for East Derry.
Yes.
Isn't the fact that John Dalit brings, I mean, the man has come out of retirement, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Isn't it the fact that his, I'm reading all about his skill set, they've brought a grandee in because they feel, well, they just feel that you're not strong enough, Jerry.
That's fine, that's the decision the party have to make. But I mean, ultimately, it'll be the people on the doors, Mark, who make a decision. Who they think's the best person. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the party didn't give the electorate in East Derry the opportunity to pick who they thought was the best candidate.
And if your first preference is deny John Dalit an Assembly seat, will you be happy about that?
I'll take the result as it comes.
As an SDLP man for how many years?
I have worked for SDLP for 16 years, Mark. And I have walked the streets and I have worked tirelessly for the SDLP when Colm Eastwood was still in nappies and canvassed the doors and done everything in my power that I could to support the party. It's unfortunate now that they have decided that I am not satisfactory, as Breach Rogers put it. Even though I was satisfactory 8 months ago.
I do want to move on. John, that's unfortunate. Just in a word, would you shake his hand?
Of course, I have no problems.
But you, the hand is reached, the hand is shook.
No problem.
I mean, this stuff matters, you know. People talk about, you know, meaningless symbols, Chuckle Brothers and all the rest. Symbolism is important, so you're happy to
absolutely.
play the game. Absolutely. Let's move on. Cahill. How many hijackings, lads? Roughly, between us,
I had about five or six.
I had about 14.
It was scary. It was very scary.
It's just like in those days we were hijacked. Maybe in the morning, if you were on a spread over, you're hijacked early in the morning. If there was impending trouble, then you went and reported it to the depot. You then went and put your report onto the police. You're back driving in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
My last hijacking, they came into Foyle Street, right in. And I was just sitting there in the bus, and this guy appeared out of nowhere, gone to say to me, he says, "Perry, now are you hijacking this bus?" And I looks up and I seen this mask guy, and I says, "Perry, that's okay." He says, "I want this bus driven into the bog, in the bog side. I want you to block the flyover." Like, and I says, "That's okay, fair enough." And this other guy appeared then, with a mask on him. And he turned around and said to me, "Listen, this is his first job here. He's a bit scary on it." He says, "So I don't want no hiccups." And I says, "You'll get no hiccups from me." So away we went, up Shipley Street, down Bridge Street.
Hold on, this was an apprentice IRA man.
Whatever you want to call him. Like. But to me, next thing I knew, I was putting her across the bottom of the flyover. And the guy says to me, "Listen, driver," he says, "you'll be okay if I hold this weapon in the early, because there's a crowd of guys behind the bog in." But little was that. The next thing I see, the one screen coming in around me, petrol bombs flying everywhere.
And you're in.
I was in, still in the cab. The guy says, "You're on your own." So I took to my heels, up flying up the flyover, like, you know.
How do you cope with that, Noel?
Does that anger a man?
It does.
Yeah, at that particular time, because actually, when I was that particular hijacking, I was on the flyover, and his wee priest stopped. He was on his way down, and he got out of the car, and he says, "God, what's these lads at today?" And I says, "Well, 4 years after seeing what they're at, like." He says, "Jump into the car and I'll give you a lift back to the station." I says, "That's fair enough."
You found that in general, like when if you were hijacked and someone seen you walking back and you carrying your, we have a box with our gear, ordinary public would pull in and lift you and say, "Where do you want left?" And take you back to the depot.
But Johnny, you present as a very cool individual. I'm going to use a phrase about post-traumatic stress. We know that happens with military people and all the rest. But you know, if I'd have had one encounter like this in my life where an IRA man confronts me, takes my vehicle, torches it while I'm still in the vehicle, that would be with me for many, many years. Do you feel you were stressed?
I was off. I went off a few times.
Is that right?
Yeah. Maybe it'd take a week to sort of kick in, you know, I realise what happened. And you knew yourself there's something wrong with me here. I had to get off.
Nobody's had a bad experience so far out of the people that we've had. Everybody's loved it. And when you've got the safety equipment on, like, you don't need to be scared. You've got a helmet, you've got your wrist pads and your elbow pads and knee pads. There's nothing to be scared of.
Well, listen, in the space, you can tell if you're trying to imagine the distance. Star's going off to the left there. I'm going to stop here because in that little couple of minutes of real-time chat, we've actually come right to the St. Colum hands outstretched statue. You can cover a bit of distance, can't you?
Oh, yeah. So people use this as a mode of transport in Dublin and London. They actually use it to get to work.
I'm knackered. So you do this all the time, don't you?
It's just something that really, that lets you enjoy the environment around you. You're not imposing on the environment.
Yeah.
You're integrating with the environment and you're able to listen to the birds and you're able to be here in the park and appreciate the park.
It's really nice. We're going to go back to the park. But I mean, if we had our ambition today, the allotments across to my right, the city just down below us, end of this road, take a right, take a left, Peacebridge, Derry. You could be in Derry in six minutes.
Yeah, it takes you 5 minutes to get from Ebrington across to Derry. From here to Ebrington to Derry will be 5 minutes.
Right, so in future we'll see long skaters in groups. We must not fear them at twilight in the Derry summer.
You know, I think the most important thing with all aspects of travelling, so I drive, I cycle, I walk, I skate, with all aspects of this, I think the most important thing is respect. And what we're looking for is just to integrate into the city and have everybody work together in the city.
Right, well, let's head back to base and I am going to be doing so. I have to tell you, most thankful that I didn't go off in my ear because I didn't put any rough jeans on, I just put my
my work trousers on. And...
But that's the beauty of this. Like, you don't need to be wearing something special. You just throw on the protection equipment and you're fine to go. Yeah.
And we're coming back down the way we've just come up, Dara. This is glorious. You couldn't walk this fast. But you could sprint faster than this, but this is cruising, man.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of slow adventure.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
you're looking
yes.
to appreciate what's going on around you. Like, longboarding can be a big, like, adrenaline junkie thing, but it doesn't need to be.
Go race the front door.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, jeepers. Oh, he's away. Oh, he's a big, long stepper. Like a proper gack. Look at Dara. Well, I'm not disgracing myself, I hope. So there you go, folks, longboards. They're about 3 foot long with big skateboardy wheels on them. And it's something different for the town and something to add to the tourist offer. And in that space of time, that's me, 1, 2, 3, back at the front door of St. Columb's Park House.
Linda, how are you getting on?
Grand, I'm good.
Well, tell us all about the process, because it's a huge decision for a mum, a foster mum, to take, a family to negotiate. How has your journey been?
My journey's been like a roller coaster. Colette first came to me and put the idea in my head. And, well, thanks to Colette, I am where I am today, along with Janet and everybody. But the process is quite frustrating and it's hard and it wrecks up lots of memories. But now, when I am here in a minute, it's all worthwhile, and you know why it is, because they match a child then to you. It definitely, at the time, you think this is never going to end, and what more could they ask me?
Mm.
But now I have the most amazing wee girl, and she is just a delight. And from where she came, when she came through my doors 1 year ago until where she is now, is just an amazing transformation.
Can you tell us a wee bit about that?
Yeah, when she came, for her, like, there was no trust. It was so scary. For 3 days, we watched Peppa Pig on the sofa with the same coat. We didn't speak. Peppa Pig was our saviour, along with my wee dog. She just had to learn to trust me, but not trust me as to talk to me, but through time, when she did trust me, she told me her story. And now, with the help of Janet, the external counsellors, and especially my mum and dad, who are amazing, we can create a new story for this child. And a happier story. And she is just amazing, to be honest.
It must be so difficult for a child, especially that they're not a wee nipper anymore. They know the crack in life a
yeah.
wee bit. And then suddenly she meets you and she's, what, 7, 8 year old?
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be a more challenging set of circumstances. Why did you choose this?
Because I have the most amazing mum and dad. And they have always encouraged me and my sisters to do what you want, to just give it your best shot in life. And no matter what we've done, the door is always open. They're always there. And my mum is just the most giving person. And she has helped me along this way. And I always wanted to work with children and to deal with children. But, you know, this is just the path that I chose in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I do it, the rewards are amazing. And
do you have kids of your own?
No, I'm not married, or I'm a single carer. And it's just me and the wee dog and now the little girl. And we have a great friendship, we have a great bond, lots of negatives sometimes, but they do outweigh with positive factors.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even though you mightn't get to keep them long term, you can create a bond. And if they do move on somewhere else, you've known that you've created a really good part of their story, and you'll always be part of their story, and they'll never forget that.
But Linda, I can see the emotion in your brow. And the connection and the work that's been done here, it's immediate to everybody listening to this. What happens if you were to lose her?
If I was to lose her, I'd be devastated. But I also know I have given that child so much. I have taught her so many things. My mum, especially, like, she just loves going to Granny's for her Sunday dinner. And, you know, there's no better cook than my mummy.
And does she know that it might come to an end?
It might do, but I think she's happy and settled, and we're all hoping that it'll work out for us, that she'll stay with us long term.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no hesitation, we would keep her.
And what it is, this connection that you've so clearly described, is it automatic that you proceed toward adoption, if that's possible?
If it was possible, absolutely.
Yes. But it's not for now?
Not for now.
Wow, how do you plan your life?
I plan my life just to love every day with this child.
With
and
a Tuesday
her.
Coming after a Monday and a Wednesday
yes,
coming after
the same
after
as
Tuesday.
Every other mum and dad, and
my
you know,
activities.
And all the normal activities, swimming, dancing, you know, and because I may have changed her life, but she's also changed my life.